This week, get a package of 12 cookies for just $3.99 or less. Schnucks, fresh every day.
Hey guys, Florida Man here. Make sure you catch all the action as the Morning After heads down to Jupiter, Florida, February 12th through the 16th for the Cardinals spring training. All of the spring training content is brought to you by Budweiser, the Post Sports Bar, JMH Law Firm, Grand Cru Cigars, DB Sports Bar, and Glen Ed Penske Truck Rental. Missed some of the show? Don't worry. All show segments are available for download at 590thefan.com. Come on in. The water's warm.
First, let's talk about the food before we let you know where it's at. When was the last time you had aged beef tenderloin? Sliced into juicy medallions that are so tender you can eat them with a butter knife. It's called the pepper loin. That's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin. You know the place, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270. Open for lunch Tuesday through Friday and open for dinner 7 days a week. And serving USDA prime beef. That's the top 2% of any meat sold in the country. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
Finally, St. Louis, finally the wait is over for an upscale airport lounge that accommodates every type of traveler. I could not be more excited to be a member of the Wingtips Lounge, located in Terminal 2 at the St. Louis Lambert International Airport. Complimentary amenities include creative small bites, Caldi's coffee, organic teas, beer, wine, and spirits. The lounge features high-speed Wi-Fi, wireless printing capabilities, in-lounge restrooms, and power outlets at every seat. Wingtips offers single-visit passes or annual memberships. Stop by before your next flight.
I know a lot about Sharp City.
And it's great.
Whether you're looking to fillet up a Dover sole or slice into your favorite cattleman's cut, the folks over at Bertarelli Cutlery know all the ins and outs about how to get your kitchen knives as sharp as the Dickens. Family owned and operated for over 50 years, Bertarelli Cutlery offers St. Louis's finest knife sharpening services, as well as having all the gadgets and gizmos for your kitchen needs. So head on down to Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill, visit them on Facebook or online at BertarelliCutlery.com.
Hey guys, Florida Man here. Make sure you catch all the action as the Morning After heads down to Jupiter, Florida, February 12th through the 16th for the Cardinals spring training. All of the spring training content is brought to you by Budweiser, the Post Sports Bar, JMH Law Firm, Grand Cru Cigars, DB Sports Bar, and Glen Ed Penske Truck Rental. Missed some of the show? Don't worry. All show segments are available for download at 590thefan.com. Come on in. The water's warm.
RVs are hot, and everybody wants to be an RV dealer. Salesmen pushing hardware down the fast lane because they are in a hurry. But what's the rush? With an RV, we should be cruising down the slow lane enjoying the ride. It's important to pick the right RV to match your wants and dreams. Byerly offers over 25 brands to fit almost any budget. We are Byerly, the center of the RV world.
For the rest of your life.
Check us out at ByerlyRV.com, Eureka, Missouri.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call.
Yeah.
Drive your Chevrolet through the USA.
Normally that music means
America's the greatest land of all.
We'll be talking with John Longo. We're not going to talk to him today. I'm going to do the honors. I will play you now the phone call that I just made to the dealership, and you'll see why he's not available.
John Londo, Chevrolet.
Yes, is John Londo off there, please?
He's here with, but he's with a whole bunch of customers who are up in the back.
Well, then I don't want to bother him. Just tell him I'll take care of the commercial.
All right, well, now, goodbye.
So there you go. There's the actual. Okay, it was a reenactment. But you couldn't even tell. You thought it was real. That's how good it was. So here's the deal. This is easy. This is an easy sell for me. Most everybody has a car. A lot of people in the household have two, maybe three. Some of you buy cars every year, some every 2, 3, 10, 12 years. I'm talking to all of you. I don't care if you buy a new car every year, you buy one every 15 years. The average car on the road is 11 years old. I used to think that couldn't be right, and so I started deliberately looking at cars on the road. I think it's true. The average is probably 11 years old. So no matter how often you buy or how infrequently you buy, the price thing is overblown, meaning dealers act like, oh, we've got prices that'll knock anybody out of the... No, they won't. They're all pretty close. They really are. If you really start checking around, a couple of bucks here or there for the exact same car, but not enough or shouldn't be enough to make a difference. And when anybody says they'll beat anybody's deal, that is absolutely the most ridiculous thing that I think you can say. Come on in and show us somebody else's offer and we'll beat it. You beat it by a nickel, you beat it. $1, you beat it. There's not anybody who's going to sell you any Chevy, brand new Chevrolet on that lot, for less than Johnny Londoff's people. This is just not going to happen. So now it comes down to what? Location? That doesn't matter. If it did, that couple we just talked to last week drove 150 miles just to do business with a dealership that knows how to treat people. I can't even imagine how many Chevy dealers there were between their home and Johnny Londoff. Several. They just kept driving because they wanted to see if everything I'd been saying was true, and they found that it was, and they bought a new Chevy. So if you're in the market, new or pre-owned, demo, 2018. I don't even know if there are any 17s left, really. Probably just a few here and there. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. You can start your shopping online. You want to go right there right now? Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, or if you want to start online 24/7 at Londoff.com.
How much is that Dougie
in the window? Dougie in the
window.
If you have a pet, if you are thinking about buying a pet, you know, one of the things that I was surprised about is I talked about how in Korea, and even over there where they're doing the Olympics, they're just a few miles away from restaurants that serve dog and cat. I actually expected somebody to be really upset with that, but this is such a great audience. They knew why we were talking about it, because it's interesting. And we don't do that here. We don't eat our pets. The thought of that is just almost hilarious to me. Wait, what happened to your pet? We ate it. What happened to Duke? He was such a great... Yeah, we ate him. And here's the thing. In the Korean War, food was so scarce for some people, they had to eat their pets to feed their kids. So thank you for understanding that and not complaining. I was really stunned by that. This is the guy who will answer any of your questions about your pets that you love and don't eat. His name is Dr. Doug Pernikoff. He's the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. And he's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. If your pet's going to jump up to the window and put his nose on the window, make sure it's a Window World window. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com for more. Would you please say hello? Oh, phone number. Then I'll introduce you. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. Here he is, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey.
Hello, doctor.
How are you? A.M. in the P.M.
Oh, of course you are. He always is. He never forgets.
Before Dr. Doug gets going, David Solomon sent me a text and said the weather line time and temperature is 3-2-1-22-22. And I just checked it, and that's what it is, yeah.
So well, you told everybody wrong.
No, someone else called and said it was 2-5-2-2, but it's actually 3-2-1-22-22.
Okay, but you passed that information along without checking it.
Yeah, I didn't
check. You just
took
their word for it. Yeah. What did we learn here? You don't take anybody's word for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it made you look stupid because you gave out the wrong number.
No, that makes them look stupid because they gave me the wrong number.
Makes you look stupid because you didn't check it. Dr. Doug, I'm sorry you had to be a part of that. I'm sorry you had to hear that.
I'm called stupid all the time. It's usually my wife, though.
Oh.
So she calls
me stupid. yesterday, we have you, Doctor, have you, as a veterinarian, have you ever, and I know you've left the country, mm-hmm. have you ever found yourself with the dilemma of, do I taste this dish that's got dog meat in it? Probably not.
Well, you know, it's interesting. A couple points. I was in China in October, and in fact, we went to a local market in a small town, and it did have everything that you would not expect to eat. Okay, dogs, right. cats, and so on. So I didn't consciously do that. But years ago, I was in, I was in Indonesia, and I was traveling from site to site, and there were things that we would eat that you don't know what that was. So
now that's usually how people eat it, is they don't know they're eating.
Yeah, it wasn't intentional. So if I did, I did. But I, you know, I never got sick. I was very careful about how.
But as far as you know, you don't know that you ate anything. In other words, after you ate it, somebody goes, "Hey, by the way, Doc, you know what you ate?" So
no,
you don't know.
I was belching meows, but after the meal.
Oh, see, that's pretty funny, actually.
I thought that was pretty good.
Now, have you eaten horse meat that you know of?
Yes. Yes. So when I was in college, we had a weird, the zoology and biology group had a club we called the Bobby Witcher Society, and it was all professors and grad students and anyone else that was interested. And we made this club up, and every year we had a special cuisine. So the first time we were, this sounds horrible, the group was crazy, but it was all really bright professors and stuff. But the first one, we're sitting around, they're watching the old eight millimeter film, and it's showing them with little kids, group kids in taking horse rides, and then all of a sudden they bring out this big platter of pony meat, and that was the pony. So, but
now,
we've eaten in that club. We also ate a reticulated python that was 20-something feet long, and it had just gotten so mean and dangerous that they decided to make it a meal. So, yeah.
What did that taste like? What does python taste like?
It's like chicken. We also had beaver.
Everything can't taste like chicken. You had beaver? That's another subject.
Whoa, what's that taste like there?
Oh, that was great.
Did you just watch an 8mm film prior to that?
Yeah.
Nice beaver.
Oh, yeah.
Let it go, why me? For anybody who might not know, if you're like 20 years old, back in the olden times, only time you could watch porn movies were called stag films, and they were on 8mm projectors. You had to play them. And that's the only video that existed where you could actually watch pornography.
And no music that went wound.
You mean there's another way to do it?
That I've heard you could do it on the internet. That's what I heard somebody say that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but that 8mm stuff, all you heard was that the sound of the film going through.
And those were
some
the actors.
Jumping, jerking sort of, I didn't mean to say jerking, film on the screen. So let me give these numbers one more time, and we'll get to these calls, because there's one line open. 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. John is up first. John, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hey, John. How are you?
Hey, my question is, I don't want to sound cheap, but my dog, a hound dog that we rescued from your facility out there a couple of years ago, tremendous scratching and itching and licking. I know I've got eczema now. I don't know if it's just the winter time, or is there anything I could do over the counter to put on her, or should I go to my vet that I've been going to for 30 years?
Yeah, I would probably go to your veterinarian, because there's so many new products out there that really help for these kind of conditions that I think that you'd be silly not to get some guidance. He's going to talk to you about special foods. And then there are a number of different products, either orally or injectable, could be very, very useful for your pet. And I do appreciate and thank you for adopting. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would go talk to him. And you know, you still don't have to do anything you don't want to do, but at least you'll get an idea of what his thinking is and how he wants to manage it. And every vet has their own little formulation or recipe of care. Okay?
Yeah. So there's no topical, you know, shampoo or something? She hates
there are,
the water.
You know,
she
there are, but
in the rain.
Yeah, you know, they, I mean, there's some that are designed to be soothing and anti-itchy, but nothing's better than the products that are either injected or given orally or underneath the skin, something. Oh. I think those are going to be much more effective, and there might be a combination of opportunities for, that your vet's going to suggest. So I would give them the opportunity to just educate you, okay?
I mean, is it just itchy? I mean, it's not a problematic problem that I mean it's not going to
well
hurt
I don't know what the I don't sure what you're
yeah. I mean you can't tell it with a phone but yeah
obviously I mean it sounds like an allergy kind of condition, which is a general trash can term, just means itchy dog. And you know, he might look at the pattern of it and say, oh, it's all in the tummy, that means it's something he's lying on, or grass outside's dry, or it might be something more generalized where you have your ears and your skin all affected. And again, that's all part of the exam, and it's kind of like a detective trying to put things together and give you the best option. So without seeing it, obviously, I don't be guessing.
Yeah, I would go out to you again, but I live in Richmond Heights, and you're way out there, so it's like...
Well, whatever you want to do. We have people come from all over the state and outside the state, not because of my good looks, either. So
I'll vouch for that.
Thank you,
John.
Thank you. Listening. Good luck.
That means there's a line open, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. Here's Jeff. Jeff, say hello to Dr. Doug. Jeff?
Hello?
Jeff? This
hello,
is where
Jeff.
You speak. Jeff? 3, 2, Jeff, we're going to hang up. 3, 2, okay, drop him. Maybe we lost our phones. Maybe we might have lost our phones. Try it again. 314-821-0590, 855-282-TALK. You can jump back in now because now the lines are open. So back to this, while we wait for these calls, back to this eating bizarre things.
Yes.
Do people eat like bear and lion or tiger and stuff?
Oh, I'm sure they have.
Is that meat ever? I would think over there that meat is eaten. Like, you never hear anybody say had a great tiger steak.
Oh, people eat bear. I know. We know someone that's done that before.
Yeah, I would think that people would eat a lot
just
of
about anything,
things, depending on what their condition is, you know, where they are and all. But we also
for some
have
reason,
for. I didn't tell you my hors d'oeuvres we had at this group. They would take little newborn mice and rats that don't have any hair on them, and they'd bread them and bake them.
Oh, gross, man!
Yeah, no, I'd have a little trouble with that. I think I would. I'd have to not know what it is. And then after I said, man, that's good, what was that? Then you could tell me.
Yeah, I traveled throughout Asia and Southeast Asia, we would constantly eat like different species of fried or grilled grasshoppers and critters like that. That was pretty amazing.
What is the deal? What is the deal with Asian people that they eat that stuff? We don't. What is
that? Well, I think they're just searching for protein. I mean, some of the places I've been, like in Nepal, I remember it was probably the poorest country I've ever been in. Those people eat one meal a day, and it's mostly rice. So if they get a little bit of protein from either insects or whatever, that's a big plus for them, and it's available. It's free, it's there, and all I have to do is cook it up. So, but you'd be driving along the road in Southeast Asia, and there'd be people selling little bags of barbecue fried grasshoppers and stuff, and you just take a bag and buy them, and they cost nothing. And
see, I would eat that.
Eat them as crunchy treats. They're good.
I would eat that.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me. I would do that. All right, back to the phones. Angie is up. Angie, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. How are you?
Good, Angie. How are you, honey?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. What's cooking?
I am trying to trap 3 semi-feral cats. My sister passed away, and I've managed to find a home for them that'll be similar to the situation that they were living in. My problem is I'd like to borrow some traps from somebody. Are there any organizations that lend them out or anything like that?
I would call the APA, the Animal Protective Association, and the Humane Society. If those don't work, let me know. I may have a couple of traps I can lend you.
Oh, great. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank
no
you
problem.
So much.
And that's a good service you're doing. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Angie. Thank you for listening.
No problem.
Elliot.
They're already spayed, and you know, they're great cats. They came to her, but they won't come to anybody else. And
right. The
lady that wants to take them, she'll keep them in a similar situation. And I think eventually they would warm up to her, you know, but
it'll
just take a while.
Absolutely.
All right, Angie, thank you for listening.
I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye. Elliot is next. Elliot, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug, this is Elliot. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Elliot?
I'm doing well. And Frank and the guys, hello.
Elliot, how are you?
Hello, Elliot. Welcome.
Okay. Hey, Dr. Doug, I have a dachshund. She's like 11 years old. She's a mini.
Okay.
And any more, like, she's napping for a couple hours or whatever, once you get up or you want to pick her up, she starts yipe a little.
Uh-huh.
Is that like, I think it's just like arthritis.
Yeah, these guys are, I mean, that breed is so characteristically sensitive or vulnerable to arthritic changes in their spine. And in particular, the little disc pad between the vertebra on your back, that is kind of looks like the pad on a clarinet, if anyone's ever seen that. But anyway, that can either get...
Anyway...
That can
way
become,
to go, Limey. You got him.
That can become calcified and rigid, or it can become kind of gooey, or they call degenerating. And certain positions, like you're talking about, like trying to lift the dog and his back flexes or extends, can cause some real pain. So I would have your veterinarian take an x-ray of that so you get a reference point, and then start, there's lots of medications to help do that, but you have to be careful, because when they feel better, they want to do things they shouldn't be able to do. So if they start feeling better...
It almost seemed like it was around the neck and jaw area. So like
you said, on
sunny days and stuff, she's real active. But the cold, cloudy days where she kind of just burrows up, seems like she's real stiff.
Yeah, and the other thing you can check is make sure there aren't any tooth problems. But the neck is one area, and so is the lower back. Those are the two most common areas.
Okay.
And I think he could check that out, or she can check that out, whoever your vet is, and they can tell pretty quickly whether there's sensitivity in the neck region, and then he can describe how to medicate it best. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. And real fast, Frank, you were talking about the 8mm movie just a little bit ago. You need to tell that story the one time where you borrowed.
Oh, my goodness.
Out of his office.
Yeah, you know what? When we finish this segment, I may do that. That's a great story. Thank
Come
you,
on,
Elliot.
That is great. Yes, sir.
Right, thank you. I know exactly what he's talking about. It's one of the few times that I was at a job where I thought I'd done something where I was absolutely going to get fired, because what I did was wrong, and I'll tell it later. But Mike is up next. Mike, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, we have a puppy husky. And she is like 4 months old, I believe.
Okay.
She just recently lost one of her tooth on the we found it on the carpeting. Is that normal?
Yes. So at five months, it's almost like a hard and fast rule for any breed. At 5 to 6 months, they start to lose those big canines, and when any of these teeth come in, the mature teeth. The baby teeth, or the deciduous teeth,
deciduous.
They release an enzyme that digests the root, the new tooth coming in, the permanent tooth, produces an enzyme that digests the root of the baby tooth, and it falls out much easier. So you can find it. A lot of times they swallow them inadvertently. It's not going to hurt them. And then you'll see, if you look in there, you can actually see where certain teeth are coming in, and they look more pronounced, larger, more rotund, and you know that they're adult teeth. So that's a process that's going to take another couple of months to get cleared.
She'll lose all of her teeth then? All her baby
teeth? Yeah, all those baby teeth will be lost, and she'll recover all new adult teeth, and then she'll have those for life.
Okay, I have another question. We're trying to, she's in the house. And most of the time, we take her out like every hour, every 2 hours. And we don't really trust her enough, because sometimes when we bring her back inside, she'll be playing, and all of a sudden she'll just stop and pee on the carpet.
Put her to sleep.
That's so common. We tried to buy some of those pads and sit by the door, and she just tears them up. And we even tried to spray the fake urine or whatever it is that's on those pads to encourage her to go on there instead of peeing on the carpeting. But
yeah, no, I think what you should be doing is working with a crate system. You may be doing that too, but do it correctly. And again, I'll give you my quick suggestion, but your vet may have a different protocol. But basically, I don't care how many times you take them out of that crate, if it's one time or 12 times a day, you always immediately put a lead on and walk them to the door if you can. If you have kids, don't let them play. You want to get the dog outside on a lead and let him walk out and go peep or whatever he has to do, and give him enough time that you know he's complete. But don't let him out free to play without a lead anytime until he learns these rules, because otherwise he doesn't know how to differentiate work from play site. And then if he comes in and it's a feeding time or a watering time, you do all that, you take him right back out. Or if you take him out the first time and he doesn't want to do anything, bring him back in, put him in the cage for 2 seconds, a minute, a couple minutes, take him out again and do it again. He's got to understand that being outside is a place of work, to do your business and not to play until he learns the rules. And if you're real strict about that, and then when you bring him in, even if she's peed and she's done everything right, I still keep him on a longer lead, maybe a 6 to 9 foot lead, and I kind of control him, because you're right, they get excited and they're like a baby with no diaper. They'll just squat and pee, and the girls are especially hard to stop because they're so close to the ground anyway, you know. So it just really becomes your responsibility to make that dog successful, and the more success the dog experiences, the quicker it learns.
Okay. So you can't just let the dog run around the house then?
I wouldn't do it initially, but again, you might only be talking about a good week or two if you're really, really on top of it and you really are strict about not missing, because every time she makes a mistake, it's one rung down the ladder than you were going climbing up.
Yeah, but I know what Mike's talking about. you love having the dog just run around.
Oh, yeah.
And you can play with it, and to have to crate it is kind of a drag. But it is short-term.
It is short-term, and if you want to fight with this the rest of the dog's life, that'll be worse, you know, because you'll be changing your rugs out, and this and that, and it's really discouraging when they make those accidents. So, again, I think a little bit of very strict management at this time is worth the end point. Okay.
So how long does that generally take if you put them on the lead after they come inside? And
if you're really on top of everything, I think you can get this dog trained in 1 to 2 weeks easily.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, I'm talking about being really strict, okay? And I mean, it's not punishment. It's just management. It's husbandry. Okay.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Good luck.
Mike, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Before we cut you loose here, because we're out of time, but the crate training thing, if I got it right, the animal is in the crate, and generally they won't go in their own crate, unless it's a huge crate.
Right, because
they're messing in their own bed, basically. So after they've been in there a while, you take them right outside. And then once they go, you could play with the dog in the house for a while.
You still want to be on call about this, because like I said, they can be pretty well trained, but then they get excited and all of a sudden they got a wee wee and then that's it, then you've lost.
And the temptation with a puppy, especially if you have kids, you bring a puppy home, everybody wants to play with it all the time. Oh, look at he's chasing the ball, isn't he cute? And he fell down, he got back up. But when you're doing that, the longer you do it, you get ready. They're going to go.
Right.
You play with them a little while after you bring them back in, once they've done their business, and back in the crate. And they'll learn.
They don't come and play
unless you do something outside.
Right. And I should have mentioned to Mike that, you know, he can always, if this doesn't work, can always take the dog in and make sure it doesn't have a little bladder infection or the little puppy vaginitis. And until they get spayed, this could be a chronic problem. So.
All right. Well, we're out of time. Theme music, would, Maestro. Dr. Doug, we'll do this again next Wednesday.
I appreciate it. I love you guys.
All right. Dr. Doug Pert, we love you too, not in a sexual way. Dr. Doug Pertikoff, everybody. Brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. More at thewindowworldst.louis.com. We have a little business to do, but Elliot Elliot has a great memory, because I haven't told this story for a long time. And I think everybody, if you know, you live long enough and you've worked enough places, you has done something at work you shouldn't have done. And you're convinced that, and you get caught. And you're convinced this is it. And I will tell you that I've never been fired, ever, from a job, ever. And that's not necessarily that makes me any better than anybody else. I think it's good to get fired. I think there are a lot of people who get fired, and that's what causes them to pick themselves back up and motivates them. But I just was never fired. But this time, I was convinced I would be. Now, you got to go back years ago, the 70s, where, as I said, if you wanted to watch pornographic video, it was really only available on 8mm film. The same kind of film that rich people had as movie cameras, and only the rich kids' parents had actual movie. That was 8mm. And it was real small, not very wide film, and little bitty spools. And I was working at ad agency, and we had hired a guy who had been a pretty big deal at a radio station here in St. Louis. He had a show, and he was a big deal, until he wasn't. And I guess ratings slipped, and they let him go. My boss thought, well, this guy got a gift of gab. He'd be great to have here at the ad agency. He'd take him on calls. He could entertain people. See, I could see where he thought it was a good idea. So we hired the guy. There was an artist there. We had two artists, an art director and assistant art director at the ad agency. And this guy's name was Jay. And I see this salesman that we'd hired, who was a former disc jockey, pretty successful. He walks in one day with an 8mm projector, and he goes back and he puts it in his office. And then the next day or day after, he walks in with a paper bag, and I could barely see just the top of the bag. It was filled with 8mm film, spools of it. And I thought, I know what this is. This guy has got porn in his office. So I go down the hall to Jay. I said, Jay, I'm not going to use the guy's real name. We'll call him Carlton. I said, you know what Carlton brought in? He said, what? I said, 8mm projector and a bunch of film. You know what that is? He goes, Stag films. I said, you bet it is. You know it is. So Jay and I stayed late. We pretended like we're working late. Our boss goes home. The salespeople go home. Secretary goes home. The lady who in the traffic who placed all the ads for our accounts. Everybody's gone. Me and Jay. And once we realize it's now 7:30, they're long gone. I go down to Jay. I go, let's go. So we go in this guy's office. Nobody locked their office. He had a credenza. I open the bottom of it. The cat. There it is. There's the projector. There are the films. We set it on his desk. Now, this is somebody else's office. We set it on his desk and closed the door, plugged it in. I said, you know how to thread this thing? He said, no. I said, I don't either. Now, anybody who ever tried to thread these things, a nightmare. It's just, it's like a sewing machine. It's got all these little cog wheels. You gotta, so we stare at it, and we finally get it to feed the film, and then there's a take-up reel where it, once it's played, it kind of spools it onto the second reel. So we get it started. We kill the lights. And sure enough, right away, there's no opening scene. It's just, boom, there it is, hardcore sex. And it was in color, which a lot of it was black and white. This was color. And we're not watching it more than a couple of minutes, and all of a sudden it starts that... It starts kicking and hiccuping, and the cog wheels come loose, and then there's smoke, and then the film catches on fire. There's a flame. No. There's an actual flame. No, because it got stuck in the gate. It's called the gate where the lens is, and the lens is hot. It's a light. So when the frame gets stuck, it gets melted. So it's melting the film. Just as this happens, I mean just as it happens, the door opens, and there he stands. The guy whose office we're in.
Mm-hmm. No! Oh,
and man. he's with a woman who's not his wife.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And I stared at him. He said, "What the hell are you doing?" And I said, "Carlton," I said, "you know what? There's no way. I don't know what to say. There's nothing I can say except," he said, don't say any more. Don't say one more word. You get the hell out of my office." He says, "And one more thing. Those films don't belong to me. I borrowed them. They belong to somebody else. You're going to pay for what you..." I said, "Absolutely. Absolutely. You tell me what your friend wants. I'm sorry. Get out." He said, "Get the hell out. Just get out." He was so mad. And he should have been. He had every right to be. So I go home, and it's eating me up. I can't stand it. Because I'm thinking, what if he goes to my boss and says, "By the way, your boy got in my office," he couldn't say broke in because it wasn't locked, "got in my office, got into stuff that didn't belong to him, I don't appreciate it," and then of course I thought I'm going to be fired. So I couldn't stand it. I called my boss. Now it's like 9 o'clock, 9:30 at night. I called him at home. And I said, "Sid, something happened tonight at work." He said, "What?" And I said, "Jay and I, we went into Carlton's office." He said, "What for?" I said, "Well, he brought in a projector and some stag films, and we, you know, were looking at them, and they caught on fire." And he goes, "What?" I said, "Yeah." And then he came in and caught us. He said, he came in. What time was this? I said, like 7:30. He said, "He came in." I said, "Yeah." And he had a woman with him. And we all knew the guy was married. It wasn't his wife. I said, "So it was obvious he's bringing her back there. And, you know, they're going to watch some films and get something going." I said, "I'm really sorry." I said, "But I wanted you to hear it from me. I did it. I shouldn't have done it. There." And he said, "Well," he said, "you're right. You had no business being in somebody else's office, into their stuff." He said, "But you just solved a great mystery for me." And I said, "What?" He said, "Now, let me stop here and say, if any of you have ever watched Mad Men or any of these shows that are based on the 60s, 70s, people drank in the office all the time. We had a bar in our conference room, a fully stocked bar. And Sid said, the liquor in our bar, ever since we hired this guy, has been disappearing at an unbelievable rate." And he said, "I knew he had a drinking problem, but I thought it was over. And you're telling me he had another woman with him? I guarantee you they were going to hit that conference room, get liquored up, watch those movies, and you know what happened next." He says, "Now I know what's happened to my liquor." He said, "You're right. You had no business being in there, but I'm not going to fire you. I don't think you'll be doing this again, because obviously it bothered you." I said, "Yeah, it did. Absolutely it did." He said, "No. Thanks for helping me solve the mystery, but the way you did it, not right." I said, "I understand." The next morning, he calls Carlton in, closes the door, fires him. He goes in, grabs his stuff, gets his stuff together, his projector, his bag, his briefcase, all his stuff. And on the way out, he stopped and shot me a look in my office. And it was the look of, one day, I will kill you for this, for telling him this. It was the nastiest, hardest, meanest stare I've ever seen from him. And then he's gone. Now, the good news is, I found out a few years ago he died. Whew. There's some pressure. Oh. Because I'm not kidding. For years, I thought, this guy's going to find a way to get back at me when all I did was call to confess that I had done something wrong. I didn't call to get him fired. He got himself fired. He was an alcoholic. He drank the place dry. And he brought chicks back there to nail him, watching films that didn't belong to him. I shouldn't have broken in. So I didn't lose my job, but he did, and I'm not kidding, for a long time, if a car followed me or just anything kind of weird, you get a call and they hang up, I go, uh-oh, that's him. He's back in town, because I knew he had left, and that was a relief when I found out he had left the state to take a job at a radio station. But he's dead, and I think I'm off the hook now. But I don't know if you've ever had where you're so sick to your stomach because you know you got caught doing something. I mean, I'll never forget that feeling. And I felt so guilty. I just called my boss and said, "Guilty. I did it." And what a relief when I was able to keep my job. So, Elliot, there you go. You got a great memory, Elliot, if you remembered that story. We're going to take a quick break here. I will invite you to patronize one of our advertisers. Only if you're concerned at all about safety and security. If you have absolutely no concern for your safety, your family's safety, the safety or security of your employees, your business, your stuff, you can ignore what I'm about to tell you about gateway lock and security cameras. Security cameras are now a big business, and they've become, I think, almost a necessity for certainly any business and for most people, your home. I don't think you can give me any argument as to why it's not a good idea, unless you say, well, I can't afford it. Okay, I don't spend other people's money. Maybe you can't afford it. But, again, like a lot of things, it's priorities. You can afford other stuff. I think maybe if you rethink it and think of the value of the that secure feeling, that safe feeling, that knowing that if something happens, you got them. You got them on ultra-high definition video. It's captioned the DVR. And they may knock your cameras out, but they're not going to knock out the shot of who it was that reached up to knock them out. You got them. And they usually don't even do that. They're stupid. A lot of crooks are stupid. They go in and do their thing. And I see all these grainy old videos in convenience stores, and I just think, why don't you upgrade them? What you call gateway lock and security cameras, unless you're out of town, and have them do it right. The other thing that's happened because of the interest in security and surveillance and cameras is people who think they're going to do it themselves. Yeah, you can do that, and you can buy this cheap doorbell stuff. It's not the same thing. It's just not. If you want to do it done right, you're not going to do it yourself, unless you're, you know, highly technical and you have the training that the gateway lock and security camera people have. So if you decide this is something that makes sense to you, and with all this sexual harassment stuff, to the point that now things that aren't really even sexual harassment are put into that category, you want hard evidence that, well, here we are. Here we are in the meeting. Here's the conference room. Show me where I touched her. I didn't touch her. There's your evidence. Nothing beats. I made up an expression years ago, and I didn't think anything about it. And then I heard other people using it. A picture is worth 1,000 words. That's mine. Yeah.
That's yours?
Made it up. Absolutely, that's mine. And I just made it up one day, and I noticed people paid a lot of attention when I said it, but I didn't think it would just take off. Now, it's everywhere. It's all over the world. A picture's worth 1,000 words. That was mine. I made up a lot of really good sayings that I don't get credit for, like, don't cry over spilled milk. That's mine.
Well, that's kind of dumb.
Well, it's not. When I was a kid, I dropped a big bottle of milk. I did, actually. I was 5 years old. I tried to pick up milk myself, show I was a big man. I dropped it and broke it. Milk all over the floor. And I started crying.
You know what my favorite saying of yours is, Frank?
What's that?
Hey, let's go to traffic.
That's mine, too. You're right. That's mine, too. I have a trademark on that. Gateway lock and security cameras. Folks, if you want it done right, it's a great family business. They're really good people. They'll work with you on your budget. You want 2 cameras, 52 cameras. They'll help you decide the right place to put them. Maybe you don't need as many as you thought. It's all about placement. Gateway lock and security.com. And now I'm going to hand it over to Dan because, and this is mine. I made this up. Let's go to traffic.
All right. That is great. Hey, let's go to traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Walgreens. A crash blocking all lanes. Eastbound 270 at 170. The left lane closed westbound 270. Accident reported southbound 55 at Rivas Barracks. Delays northbound 170. St. Charles Rock Road to Airport Road. Southbound 170 backs up Olive 264. And looks slow eastbound 5570 from Illinois 157 to 159. It's easy to share your heart this Valentine's Day. A small act of love is all it takes. Wrap a gift for a loved one, give candy and flowers to someone special, or send a Hallmark card to a friend who could really use a bit of kindness. Stop by Walgreens. They'll help you find something for everyone you love. I'm Tori Lyons, reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
I know a lot about Sharp City.
And it's great.
Whether you're looking to fillet up a Dover sole or slice into your favorite cattleman's cut, the folks over at Bertarelli Cutlery know all the ins and outs about how to get your kitchen knives as sharp as the Dickens. Family owned and operated for over 50 years, Bertarelli Cutlery offers St. Louis's finest knife sharpening services, as well as having all the gadgets and gizmos for your kitchen needs. So head on down to Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill, visit them on Facebook or online at BertarelliCutlery.com.
Roger Dean Stadium is now Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. New face, same great place. The Cardinals, the Marlins, spring training 2018. Individual game tickets, season tickets, mini plans, and groups are all on sale now. Don't miss out. Catch all your favorite players in action. The countdown to spring has started. First game kicks off on February 23rd at 1:05 p.m. Visit RogerDeanChevroletStadium.com for more info or swing by the ticket office today.
Attention TMA Lemmings. Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill has a treat for you in 2018. Stop by any of Hotshot's 11 area locations and order up a Lemmings lunch today. That's a flaming Vaughn burger and TMA Hot Tots along with plenty of soppings for only $8.99. It's a meal fit for a Lemming, available only at Hotshot's, exclusive home of our monthly TMA live events. Find the location nearest you at HotShotsNet.com and make Hotshot's your home for all the games, all the time.
Barley is the soul of Budweiser. That's why we've been working with the same family-owned American farms for more than 50 years to harvest it. The secrets to growing this grain perfectly have been passed down through three generations. For them, it's a legacy. And it's why only the best barley and locally sourced ingredients are used to make Budweiser. Budweiser is proudly raised across America. This Bud's from our barley farmers. This Bud's for you. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, St. Louis, it's time for you to get cleaned up at Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Brentwood on Hanley Road just south of Highway 40 or O'Fallon on the corner of Highway K and Fizey Road. Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in St. Louis, it's wicked awesome.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota.
I'm going to jump right in here. Bill Clevin's in the studio. He's ready to go. He's brought to you by Window World. You know all about them. We mention them all the time. They sponsor a lot of segments here. We appreciate that. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. Here he is, Bill Clevin.
Hey,
good afternoon, Bill. Take us somewhere.
All right. Well, according to Forbes, there is one city that is apparently the best city in America for single people. And I mentioned this, obviously, being Valentine's Day. What city do you think that might be?
Vegas. Let's start with the state. Is it in California?
It is in California.
Vegas. I'm going to say... I don't know any cities in California.
San Jose.
Oh, my God.
San Francisco.
Well, California's a huge state. I'll go San Francisco.
San Diego.
The answer is San Francisco, California. Nice
Whoa!
Job.
Yeah, Miami, you and
Miami.
Me.
All
right. What's up?
I like San Francisco. I will tell you, early on in my life, the first time that I went there, I was probably 9 or 10 and did not have a great experience. I remember sitting in the back seat of, I guess it was my parents' car. We were at a traffic light or stuck in traffic, and you're looking out the window, and there was a homeless person who went to the bathroom on the sidewalk in San Francisco. That was my first experience in San Francisco.
Number one or number two?
Both. Thank you.
Both?
Yes, it was awful. The adult experience, much better. So some fun things to do in San Francisco. If you have not taken a cable car ride, that's a lot of fun to do. It's sort of the iconic San Francisco thing
Rice
to do.
Rice-a-roni, the
right.
San Francisco treat.
Oh, my goodness. So the cable cars started back in 1906, and when they started, this is crazy, there were 600 cable cars going through San Francisco.
That is crazy.
By 1912, there were less than 100. Today, there are just 44 cable cars left, but you can still do that. The most crooked street in America, that's kind of a fun thing a lot of people want to go down when they're there. Do you know what that's called? The most crooked street in America?
I can't remember the name of it.
Crooked Street?
No. It should be. It's called Lombard Street. And when you see a picture of it, you'll know exactly.
Fisherman's Wharf, too.
Fisherman's Wharf, that's a good one.
I've been there.
You've been there?
No.
No,
PF39. He's making fun of the way you talk. I think he's making fun of it.
Doesn't sound like
me. He had beans there.
So there's a... hey, you're eating into my time with your horrible joke.
Yeah, shut up, Lion.
There is a dessert that I have never tried, but it is a real San Francisco treat outside of the Rice-A-Roni stuff, and it's called It's It. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Okay, so anyone that has grown up in
heard
San...
Heard of What's What?
Yeah.
I'll take $2.
What a great joke.
That is a good joke.
Shut up,
everybody.
Anyone that has grown up in San Francisco knows about this. So it is ice cream that is tucked between two old-fashioned oatmeal cookies and then dipped in chocolate. Whoa. So you have to try that if you have been there. Alcatraz is another thing to check out. A very cool experience if you want to do that. And the Golden Gate Bridge. Now, the Golden Gate Bridge has a very special color. It is a color specific to the Golden Gate Bridge. Do you know the name of that color?
Red.
It's called International Orange. It is a color that is specifically for the Golden Gate, and it has to do with the stuff that they put over the steel, and it made that color. So if you want to learn some more, you go to BillOnTheRoad.com. I am Bill Cleveland on the road and on 590 The Fan.
Which kind of looks like the Golden Gate Bridge a little, too.
It doesn't look anything like the Golden Gate Bridge.
A little trivia. Okay. What movie star is responsible for the idea of the cable car?
Oh. Clark Cable.
I did it first. I did it first. I did it first.